Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. You sound so good. Give God a shout, would you? A victory. Amen. Amen. Well, open your Bible with me today to the book of Psalm 113. Psalm 113. And we're ending our series on the life of praise. The life of praise. Next weekend, John Bevere and all of our services, and we're excited about that. Then we'll launch a new series in November. But if you haven't been with us, I encourage you. You know, another unique thing about Church on the Rock, we don't sell CDs and we don't sell videos. We give it to you free. That's pretty cool. That's kind of like a missionary outreach right there. All you got to do is go to our website, download it. It's free. We've been talking about the life of praise. You say, Pastor, I'm new today, and I don't get it, and I don't understand. In fact, you know, I was kind of bored through that 20 minutes of worship, and I saw people lift their hands and speak in some foreign language, and man, there's some crazy people around here, Pastor. I get it. I understand. You know, that's how I felt too. But if you'll stay with me today for the next 25 minutes, I think I can change your life. I absolutely know I can change your life and make your life better, whether you're a visitor or you've been with me for 36 years. And we do have people here today that started with me at this church. I think I can change your life if you'll stay with me for 25 minutes on the subject of the life of praise. Are you ready? Okay, praise, what does it mean then? It means to acknowledge God. When we're praising God, we're acknowledging God. We're putting Him first. When we're praising God, we're acknowledging God for His goodness and for His greatness, for His attributes, for His names, because His names reveal His nature. His names reveal His nature. When we're praising God, we are putting our attention on God. Everyone say attention. And that's what Pastor Kim was talking about her horse, is when she started praising God, offering up the sacrifice of praise, that her problems got smaller and God got bigger. Whatever you focus on grows, whether it be chocolate cake or broccoli. I don't know about broccoli. Praise God. But whatever you focus on enlarges and grows in your life. So when we praise God, we're giving God acknowledgement, we're giving God attention, right? And number three, we're giving God our affection, our devotion. I sure do love Him today, and I know you do too. I've been a Christian for 50 years, and I love the Lord today more than I've ever loved Him before in my life. Wow. So when we praise God, we're giving Him our affection. And number four, when we praise God, we're becoming more aware of God, more aware, God conscious. It's called omnipresence. He's everywhere, isn't He? God is everywhere. I know that'll blow your mind, that'll short circuit a circuit, but God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. So that's what praise is. And there's many different ways that we can do that in praising the Lord. But that's the basics. Now, let me give you the why. Let me give you the why, because I think this will transform your life and my life in the why. I think it's important that we know why we do it. Number one, why do we praise God? Because it pleases God. Guys got it on the screen, I think. It pleases God. And you know, here's what I found out. If I'll please God, then He gives me favor with my boss on Monday morning. You see, remember I told you last week, if what I'm hearing on Sunday doesn't help me on Monday, I'm not coming back. I don't care what church it is. If what I'm hearing on Sunday is not practical, not relevant, won't work on Monday morning, then I'm not going back. Because I want a gospel that will work midweek. And so do you. Amen, church? So here's what I know. You and I are a God pleaser more than a man pleaser. And here's what I know. When we please God, we get His favor. And you want favor with God before you want favor with man. Because if you have favor with God, God will see to it. You have favor with man. So when we praise Him with the right motive, the right attitude, the right approach, then it pleases God, number one. So for the last, 30 minutes, we have pleased the Father. How cool is that? God's passing over 1 million people to find one in St. Louis that will please Him today. And aren't you glad you're that one? Number two, what it will do is not only please God, but it stops the attacks of the devil. It's on the screen for you. Thank you, guys. It stops the attacks of the devil. And here's what I know. Everyone in this sanctuary, everyone online, you're under an attack. It might be, persecution, opposition, prejudice. It might be financial. It might be mental. It might be emotional. It might be physical. It might be over your past. It might be over your future. You might be fearing your future and what lies ahead. Here's what I know. Every Christian is under some kind of attack. The Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come to give you life, life, and life more abundantly. Amen? So when you praise God, Old Testament verse, Psalm 8, verse 2, it says it actually paralyzes and stops the devil's attack. How cool is that? How cool is that? So when you're depressed, praise God. When you're under pressure, praise God. When people are out to get you, praise God, because it stops the attacks of the devil. How cool is that? All your enemies melt in His presence. Amen? Number three, why do we praise God? Because it will bring transformation in us. It will bring transformation in us. Everybody is asking, especially as we end this year and we begin a brand new year, 2020, we're asking, how can we change? How can we change? That's one of the most asked questions, is how can we change? Everybody's wanting to know how we change. Well, you and I know that real change starts on the inside. Real change starts on the inside. The Bible says, Romans 12, verse 2, that through the renewing of your mind, you can become transformed, right? And that metamorphosis is on the inside out. When you and I praise God, it changes us. It changes our perspective, our outlook, our attitudes, our approach, our demeanor. It changes everything about us from the inside out. How cool is that? Is that when you and I praise God, it actually brings transformation into our life. And number four, why? It changes your circumstances. Changes your circumstances. Acts chapter 16, a story in the Bible, Paul and Silas are in prison. Do y'all recall that story? They're in prison. And it's midnight. Wow, after midnight. It's an old song. But it's at midnight, and they're, what are they doing? In prison. And they're what? Singing praises unto God. And what happens? Everything's beginning to shake. And what happens? The jail doors open, and they are freed. Oh, my goodness. What happened? Their circumstances changed when they sang praises unto God. Wow. So those are the whys that we do it. Now, when should we do it? Psalm 113, the guys will have it on the overheads for you. It's more than 20 minutes at church, right, church? It's Psalm 113, verse 3, and look what it says in the Living Bible. Do you all see the screens? Now, here's the Bible. Praise Him from sunrise to sunset. Oh, my goodness, Pastor, I got a job, I got a life, I got a bunch of kids. I got pressure. I got career. I got school. I'm going to night school. Pastor, how in the world am I going to praise Him from sunrise to sunset? Well, it's called a lifestyle, isn't it? The life of praise. So you know what that tells me? It's a skill set. It's a skill set. It's not a religious thing. It's a skill. It's like a muscle. This afternoon, I'm going to work out with Daniel, and I know he's going to really be easy on me this afternoon, praise God. But I'm going to exercise some muscles, right, so they can grow. Well, the same thing, our praise life should grow, but it's only going to grow through your exercising it. And you have to have a skill. It takes skill to have a life of praise. If we're going to do it from sunrise to sunset, then we're going to have to be intentional. Or what else can we do? Practical now, practical. Everyone say application. Okay, put a notification on your smartphone or a notification on your computer throughout the day to stop and praise the Lord. Can we do that, Pastor? You sure can. I got a Bible plan on my smartphone that it notifies me when I'm to read my Bible every day. You can put a notification on your technical devices that you have today to remind us, let's stop and look at the size of our God and let's give Him praise. Amen, church? So it's going to be intentional. It's going to be a decision. It's going to be on purpose. I'm going to have to exercise this muscle so it will grow and go to the next level. Another verse in the Bible, Psalm 119, verse 164. Look on the overheads. Here's what the Bible tells us, a life of praise, if I want transformation. Seven times a day. Boy, he was specific, wasn't he? Seven times a day do I praise thee because of your righteous judgments. The righteous judgments there are the promises in the Bible. So notice, not just from sunrise to sunset, but be intentional. He's focused seven times a day. You know what? Our life will be better if we'll stop throughout the day and give God praise. I'm going to come over here. Our life will be better if we'll stop throughout the day and give God praise. I'm going to say it one more time. Our life will be better if we'll stop throughout the day and give God praise. Now, what do? We praise Him for what He's already. Here's the big thing, big thing. Everybody say big thing. Again, say big thing. One more time, big thing. In other words, this is what I want you to leave with today. Okay, at the end of this series, as I taught you, you praise God for what He's already done in your life, and that will give you peace. Ooh, thank God for peace. Peace out, peace in. Give me some peace. Amen. And then I taught you last weekend that you praise God for whatever God is doing now in your life, present tense. Even though you can't see Him doing anything, church, I want to tell you, God's working on your life today. God is working on your life today. So you praise Him for what He's doing, present tense. It's called the sacrifice of praise, even when you don't see Him doing anything. And what did I tell you? That releases joy. Joy in your life. So past tense, when you praise Him for what He has done, what does that give you? Peace. What does that give you? Peace. And when you praise Him present tense, that God's working today, no matter how shattered and distracted and devastated my life feels and looks like, God is still arising and my enemies are being splattered. Right? And that will give you what? Joy. That will give you what? Joy. That will give you what? Joy. And then now the weekend, this weekend, the big thing is this. When you praise Him for what He's going to do, when you praise Him for what He's going to do in your future, it hasn't happened yet. But when you begin to praise Him for what He's going to do, it releases hope in your life. Everybody say hope. John Maxwell, I like it. I'll give him credit. John Maxwell said that a person who has hope in the future, you have power over your present. I like that. The world is full of hopeless people. Hopeless. How do you know when someone's hopeless? They're negative. How do you know when someone's hopeless? They're negative. Number two, they're critical. They're critical. They're critical. Think about the hopeless people in your world that needs the hope that you have. It has come from the God of hope. Or maybe you're in this sanctuary and you're hopeless. Well, you're in the right place at the right time. Or you're watching online and you're hopeless. You've given up on life. You've given up on life. You've given up on trying. You've given up on doing. You've given up on dreaming. And you're hopeless. How do you know when someone's hopeless? They're negative. Number two, they're critical. Critical. Number three, they're bitter. They're bitter. They're bitter. They're bitter. Can't satisfy them. Number four, they're angry. They're angry. So notice, if I'm negative, critical, bitter, or angry, evidently I don't see God doing anything in my future. Folks, you and I have to make our future bigger than our memories. I'm going to say that one more time because that was worth brushing your teeth and flossing and coming to church today. Is you have to make your future bigger than your memories. Next weekend, we're celebrating the memories of Church on the Rock. 36 years in the same city. And God's doing greater things, and God's plan. We're going to celebrate His faithfulness, but we're going to celebrate our future as well. Because your future has to be bigger than your memories. Has to be bigger than your past. So we see then how important that it is that you and I then understand that when, and this is the big thing this weekend, the big thing when you walk away, the big thing when you're writing what in your journal, what I got out of church this weekend, the big thing is praising God for what He's going to do in your life before He has ever done it, and that will give you hope. Everyone say hope three times. Hope, hope, hope. Is that cool or what? Amen. So let me tell you three things, if you're a note taker, three things, the guys will have it on the screen. What happens when you and I begin to thank God for what He's going to do? Because your future is bigger than your past, my brother and sister. And your future is worth fighting for. And your future is worth working for. Amen. And your fight is all over your future today. So let me give you three things that when we thank God, Father, I just thank You for what You're planning in my future. Father, I thank You that Your word says eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it hasn't even entered to my mind, God, what You have in store for me and my family in the future. Oh, God, I just want to thank You now for what You have arranged and prearranged, what You're working on in the relationships and the opportunities, and yeah, the challenges and the victories and the breakthroughs that You have in store for me. God, I just want to thank You for it now. And all of a sudden, hope rises on the inside. Are you with me, church? So here's what it does. Number one, look it up there. It says it causes us to focus on God's plan for our life. When we begin to thank God for what He's going to do, it causes us to do what? To focus on God's plan for our life. Oh, that's cool. Because He has a plan for you. And it's good. And it's full of success and hope. The New International Version of the Old Testament verse, Jeremiah 29:11, it says, God has a future for you full of success and hope. Oh my goodness, I love that. So it causes you to focus on God's plan for your life. Number two, what does it do? It will take our faith to a new level. Did you know that the highest level of praise, there are different levels of praise, and the highest level of praise is when you thank God for what He's going to do in your future before you ever obtain it. You know, a few weeks ago, my wife, on a Wednesday night, she taught on the perfect storm. And I remember at the end of that service on that Wednesday night, she had a Q&A. And there was a sister sitting right back here in this section, and she stood up. They took the microphone to her, and she said, Pastor Kim, what do you do? Once you ask God, you petition God, and you're waiting for the answer, and seemingly it takes so long for God to answer my prayer. And she was honest, and I appreciate that. She said, I'm tired of waiting, and I'm frustrated, and I don't know what to do. I appreciate her honesty, because we've all felt that way. And she said, what do you do when you petition God, and then you're waiting for the amen? You've asked, but it hasn't come to pass, and you're waiting for the amen. Here's what you do, my sister. You praise God for what He's going to do in your life while you're waiting. Come on, somebody. You praise God for what he's going to do in your life while you're waiting. That is so. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 that offer up your petitions with thanksgiving. Offer up your petitions with thanksgiving. So what does it do? It will take your faith to a new level, because the highest level of praise is not praising him for what he's done, not even the sacrifice of praise in the present, but the highest level of praise is you're thanking God for your future when you haven't got there yet. That's the highest level of praise. Oh my goodness. Number three is this. It will force us, notice the word focus, faith, force. It will force us to think, praise God, Honolulu, jalapeno, hallelujah. It will force us to think on good things. And what you think about, what you fill your mind with, will determine the direction of your life. And it will force us to think on, God, you got a good future. You got a good plan. You're prearranging. You're arranging. It's called destiny. It's called predestination in the Bible. I paid a lot of money in Bible college to find out what the word predestination meant. And that's what we're talking about. You've been predestinated. God's prearranged. The Bible says in Psalm, he prearranged every day of your life before you were ever born. How cool is that, church? Can we have a praise break? Come on, let's practice our praise for our future. Come on, thank God for what he's doing in your future right now. Amen? Okay, now let me give you real quick a story in the Bible, and then I'm going to give you a takeaway, and then we're going to go beat the Baptist to the buffet line, okay? All right, so let's look at it. Romans chapter 4, guys. This is the father of our faith. Romans 4, verse 17. God made him a promise, but wow, between the giving of the promise and the fulfilling of the promise, it was 25 years. 25 long years. So let's look at it. He's the father of our faith. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, Abraham, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things that be not as... That's what God does, so that's what we should do. Next verse, verse 18. Who against hope, other words, when all hope ran out, natural, he kept on hoping. When there was no reason to hope, he kept on hoping. How can you do that? All reason to hope for my marriage, for my ministry, for my money, for my children, for them to come back, for household salvation. When every reason to hope is gone, he kept on hoping. How did he do that? He was calling things that be not in his future as if they already were. So he kept on hoping. And then next verse 19, please. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. The next verse, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But watch this. He grew strong in faith. How? By giving glory. That would be praise. Through praising God for what God had promised in his future. Hadn't happened yet. He wasn't the father of many nations yet, but he grew strong in faith with the highest level of praise by calling things that be not as if they were, by thanking God for it in his future before he ever had it. And that's how he grew strong in faith. How cool is that? So as the team comes out, let me give you a takeaway. Well, okay, Pastor, I get it. I get it. The big thing. Everybody say big thing. The big thing this weekend is thanking and praising God for what he's doing in my future before I ever get there. I'm thanking him now for everything he's doing, predestination, prearrangement, ordering my life, ordering my steps. I'm thanking him for what he's doing in my future before I ever get there. How can I do that on an everyday basis? I'm glad you asked that question, because here's how you do it. Make yourself a dream board. A dream board. Everybody say dream board. Make yourself a dream board. In other words, a board where you put God's dream for your life all over it. Now, this is Pastor Kim's, and she said last night, she said, Dave, you made me look bad. You put up there that on my dream board I had a horse. Yeah. I had a horse that wins, and God's given her that. Amen. And she has a horse trailer down here, and she got her horse trailer, and she goes, you told everybody last night all the natural things. They're going to think I'm so carnal. She said, turn it over and show them all my spiritual on the other side. So yeah, she has the spiritual side as well. Amen. But everybody say dream board. See, a dream board is so important. You see why? Because you should go buy it every day. You should have it in your prayer room at home, your prayer closet at home, your bedroom, or your kitchen, or wherever, your office, so that when you go by, this is your future. And we're talking practical application. Listen very carefully. You don't need another sermon from me. You don't need another Bible lesson from me. The church in America, they don't need another Bible lesson. Pastor, oh, I don't get it, Pastor. Well, the Pharisees knew the Bible from cover to cover, and they killed Christ. What do we need, Pastor? Application. You need to know how to apply what you've been taught. If the church in America would apply the Bible they know, there'd be no wars, there'd be no prejudice, there'd be no poverty, there'd be no strife, there'd be no contention. Come on, somebody. If we would just apply what we heard in the Bible. So I want to go to a church that teaches me application and practical stuff. This is very practical. You make a dream board, and then you put it somewhere where you walk by it, and that's your future, right? And so what do? You begin to thank God. Father, I just thank you for that. Father, I thank you for this. Father, I see it. I thank you for that. The image is before me. I praise you, and I thank. It's a reminder. It's images. You're putting it in front of your natural and spiritual eye. It's a notification to stop and thank God for what he's doing in your future. Arnold Schwarzenegger said the key to his success was that when he was a teenager in his bedroom at Austria, is that he put all kinds of pictures of bodybuilders. And he said to his parents and he said to his friends, one day that's going to be me. What did Arnold Schwarzenegger have? A dream board. Most of the pastors that I have who are friends of mine, who are, you know, world changers, they all have dream boards. If you'll study out most CEOs in the natural field, in the natural business realm, who are successful, you'll find out that they have a dream board. A board that's full of their dreams, their goals, their future. And this is something practical that you and I can put together this week. And next Sunday morning when John Bevere's here and we're daylight savings time, and we're celebrating what God has done for 30, you're going to say, Pastor, oh, let me show you a picture. I took a picture on my smartphone. Here's my dream board. I applied what you said. My life is better. My life is changing. I'm going by every day, and I see my family on there serving you, serving the Lord. I see my body healed. I see myself strong. I see debt cancellation. I see all these things, and I'm thanking God for what he's doing in my future. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a praise. You got it, don't you? So say it with me. I will work on my dream board this week. Well, Pastor, I don't have a clue. I don't have an inkling. Where do you start? You start with being still before the Lord. That's where you start. And you ask God, hallelujah, about the future that he has planned for you. And the Bible says that when you delight yourself in the Lord, I sure do love y'all, he'll give you the desires of your heart. So it starts with just getting still, just getting quiet, beginning to worship him for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do in your life. And I believe he'll begin to reveal to you your future one bit at a time. Is that okay with everybody? Give the Lord your best high praise, would you, for what he's doing in your life?
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.